Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa, HS, for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Dublin is getting one step closer to introducing a tourist tax across the hotel sector. The news comes as all four Dublin local authorities are in agreement to develop legislation for such a levy. Now, other major cities across Europe already have a tourist tax, but in a city that already has the reputation for being expensive, what impact might it have on the hospitality sector in Dublin? Now, for more on this, I'm joined by Green Party councillor Janet Horner and by Owen Curry, editor of Air and Travel magazine. Good morning and welcome to you both.
Good morning, Pat.
Janet, we'll go to you first to make the case for a tourist tax.
Okay, well, we all know that Dublin City Council has plenty of financial struggles at the moment. We are constantly under pressure when it comes to keeping our streets clean, keeping our city safe. We want to improve the public realm. We want to improve the conditions of our housing sector. We have a hell of a lot of financial pressures on us. And one of the issues that constantly comes up is local authorities' ability to raise their own revenue. So, something like a hotel bed tax is a way of getting tourists who, Dublin is a massive tourist destination. It is the pinch point for tourism across the entire of Ireland. Almost every tourist who comes to Ireland will come through Dublin. And it is getting a contribution from those tourists that are coming there to make Dublin the type of city that we are constantly told we want to be able to advertise. Okay, want people to come and visit. A clean city, a safe city, and a city that is well maintained. And that takes revenue.
Okay, that takes revenue. How much can be raised by this? I mean, you have an idea of how many tourists come to Dublin, so do the multiplication.
So what we are estimating, what Dublin City Council have estimated at the moment, is if we introduce a tax of 1%, so that is if you're paying €200 for a hotel for the night, you're paying €2.
So if someone's been screwed because they come to a Garth Brooks concert and they have to pay a lot, then you screw them even more with a percentage tax instead of a flat tax.
If you're paying €200 for a hotel, I think the €2 hotel bed tax is probably reasonably affordable for you, given the rate of the hotel originally. But that would raise 12 million for the city over the course of a year at the moment. And that's a very modest one. That's 1%. Like what we're looking at across other cities is, I think it's in other cities, we're seeing 7-8% hotel bed taxes. So that is becoming the standard and the norm across Europe, because cities are constantly having these struggles of how do they maintain a city to the standard tourists expect, while also struggling with their ability
to the power
revenue
to do this, because you raise the rates, the commercial rates, but you don't have any other powers. The property taxes determine, you have a little bit of wriggle room on the property tax.
So No, that's the problem. At the moment, we don't have it. We need primary legislation introduced. So we went to our cross-party delegation went to Pascal Donoghue about a month ago, and we asked him to look at the primary legislation on this and look to introduce something along these lines. He said he was very open to it, he would be interested in it. What we want is for every local authority to have the ability to vary it as they see fit. So we for Dublin, as a city council, we are very keen on this. We think it could be very good for our ability to raise the revenue we want to see to invest in our city.
Okay. But hotels only or Airbnbs or
Airbnb,
you know, ordinary B&Bs?
Yeah, Airbnb is its own very complex field. Like, what we really want to see is much greater regulation of that sector in general. So I think, you know, tackling Airbnbs, we've been stuck in that piece of legislation for a long time.
But if you do manage to regulate them, do you want to charge them as well, the tourist tax?
I think it depends on how the regulation looks, but if they are regarded as part of the hospitality sector and that's what they're being used as, then yes.
And Mrs. Murphy's B&B, you know, up in Griffith Avenue or whatever?
Well, there's not a hell of a lot of those in Dublin at the moment, but yeah, I think in general what you're talking about when you're talking about a percentage is the cheaper they are done, the less it is. So if you're paying €40 for a hotel, for a room for a night, you're paying 40 cents in a hotel bed tax. So when you're talking about the lower end of the market, you're talking about something that is when it's a very low percentage, which is what we are proposing to introduce it, obviously to monitor it, see how this goes, make sure there's no adverse consequences on the sector, but certainly all the research internationally would suggest there won't be. Then we will be able to examine whether it's worth increasing it from
now
there.
Now, what about people from Cork, Kerry, Donegal who want to come to any of the Dublin Council areas and stay? Do you charge them too?
Yeah.
So you charge people to stay in their own country?
Yeah, we do, as is the norm when you're, you know...
I'm just wondering, is there a constitutional issue here?
I don't think
I'm not sure where it might lie, but I suspect there would be challenges. I want to stay in Dublin. They're charging me to stay in my capital city, which I'm entitled to visit.
Yeah, but at the same time, we are the capital city that has been expected to provide the infrastructure and the facilities for people to come and visit it. You know, we are hosting my neighbourhood of the North Inner City. We host 80,000 people every time we have a All-Ireland finals match or an All-Ireland match around Croke Park. That is a huge pressure on our infrastructure. It is a huge pressure on the communities and the area around it. The residents and the people who are there, they shouldn't be the ones who are paying for the upkeep of the basic infrastructure of a city when they are expected to be hosting that volume of visitors constantly.
In Venice, they use the tax as a kind of deterrent. Do you think it might have a deterrent effect in Dublin?
My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa, HS, for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.
But we're not trying to look at it as a deterrent. I was, you know, when you look at other cities around Venice, Rome, Paris, certainly there is an issue of significant over-tourism, and that is putting enormous pressure on the livability of those cities and the capacity for people just to conduct their day-to-day lives.
So you're going to charge them more and expect them all to still come?
We don't have that issue in Dublin. So I'm not proposing a hotel bed tax as a deterrent, which is when you're looking at something as high as like 10% or something like that, which is what some of those cities are examining or implementing. But what we are trying to do is do it as a small revenue raising, recognizing that for tourism to work in Dublin, we need a well-functioning city. A well-functioning city requires
revenue. Owen Curry, listening to this conversation, Owen, how widespread are these taxes?
Nothing new about them. I've seen them come and I've seen them go over the years. Cities bring them in, cities abolish them again. Well, it pretty much follows the pattern that you've just heard. Politicians love it. Tourist interests hate it. Usually the tourist interests then have to absorb it, particularly in the first year or two. and they see it as an extra taxation. Tourists look at it as shaking them down for a few bob, generally tends to hit you at the end as you're checking out. And even if the amount isn't great, the aftertaste is a bit of a problem. Sometimes you can have more than one council. You know, I've come out of hotels in America where four different city tax, state tax, and two other entities that I can't even remember what they were, all taking their little percentages. Basically, a worldwide phenomenon since tourism began. Where a tourist goes, people look to shake them down for a few bob.
So we would be looking at our bills and seeing VAT on our bill, and then we'd be seeing a tourist tax on our bill.
Pretty much. I mean, the big issue now that Janet is proposing, and that some of the other councils, not just Dublin, Galway is also in this, are saying is we don't have the legislation in place to allow councils to tax their local tourists. And that is what they're seeking. It follows what happened in Scotland, where the local authorities got the power to do so. The cause and effect, by the way, you'd imagine there'd be very clean, well-analysed, peer-reviewed body of literature on the cause and effect. It's all over the place because some places some countries are used to tourist taxes. America is a good example. What you pay in, for instance, a suburb of Los Angeles, Santa Monica, a very high bed rate for their hotel. But where we are looking for, what we should be looking at is our competitors. If a tourist tax comes in, and you know, the 1% generally sounds, the 40 cent on your bed sounds pretty, you know, it's not very invasive. But the experience of this worldwide is that it becomes more invasive and competitors look at each other. If Scotland's charging it, it wouldn't be that big an impact. If it's landing us in a situation, as I hear some of the council proposals, that will cost €200 more per week for a family of four, that might be in a put us in a position where people look elsewhere. Spain is interesting. Valencia introduced it, abolished it. I think that some countries and some cities are in a better position to get away with it than others. And it is very much unknown territory in Ireland.
All right. So, Janet, can you respond to Owen's contention? Some, they look at it, they introduce it, they get bad reaction from the sector, but also from the guests, and they say, to hell with it. We are better off without it.
And I mean, there's no reason not to introduce it. Like, we are very reasonably confident that a low rate of introduction for this will yield a very positive result for the city, for our revenue raising powers, for our ability to deliver for not just Dubliners, but also.
But you don't have control
it.
Over policing, for example, which is one of the big problems that people experience, a lack of policing on the streets. The €12 million you raise is not going to help that at all, unless you're proposing to give some to the Garda Síochána.
It might help us deliver better facilities that help tackle antisocial behaviour. It might help us tackle some of our capital infrastructure projects, tackle dereliction, tackle street cleaning. Like, there's a whole range of issues that are within the City Council control. And I am on here more than once, Pat, defending and what the council is trying to do to try to improve the city and try to make the city experience better for everybody who lives here and everybody who visits here. And we know that we have a huge amount of challenges. You are normally first in line to highlight some of those challenges to me. But to tackle them meaningfully, we do need to have revenue raising powers, and we do need to be able to have the resources there to actually deliver for people. So
the suspicion will be, and I don't know, Owen, whether you can back this up, that once you start off with 1%, and before you know it, it's 5%. They get greedy. Owen?
Brunei have a tourist tax of $200 a day, which started off at $20 a day when I was last there more than 30 years ago. So it does tend to be, politicians see it as a place to turn. There is another peculiar problem with Dublin, in that Dublin hoteliers do pay a lot of the council's bill already. So it could, in effect, be asking hoteliers to double their input that they already pay through rates. Water rates is a big, big issue for hotels that have spas. I know one hotel outside of Dublin that pays €250,000 a year for their water rates. So hoteliers, and not hoteliers are well positioned to make their own case on this, will say this is just jumping on us again to shake us down for a few bob, because the tourist doesn't pay this, the hotel pays this. That's the way the real world works out there, unless you have this very graded system as you do in America, where the hotel bill is separate from the tax bill. That doesn't tend to happen in Europe.
All right. Some of the comments coming in. I won't be travelling to Dublin to shop, etc. Awful city, dirty, unsafe. Janet is dreaming. Another tax for our country. Our country has run at a profit for the last 6 years, and we don't question the fact that we are being overtaxed already. This is shocking. I think we're all suffering from Stockholm syndrome, believing that this is the only way. From Tim in Dublin. There's been a sharp reduction in tourism to Ireland this year. I'm not sure that now would be a good time to introduce such a tax. I go to Vegas every 2 years. The room tax can be 30 to 50 bucks a night. Doesn't stop me going. €2 a night is absorbable. Who'd want to go to Vegas every 2 years? I don't know. Anyway, Janet, thank you very much for joining us. Owen, thank you also. No doubt we'll hear more about this one.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.